Hello, everyone. Welcome to Raw Hearted Real. I'm here today with a very special guest who needs no introduction. Aversion, how are you today? Besides rhyming.
Hello.
I'm very good, man. Thanks for having me. I know it's in a bit of a weird location, but trust me, there's a reason for it. I'll explain it.
Yeah, please. You have to. Okay. I want to start first on how did you choose your artist name?
I wish I had like this dope ass backstory, right? But I'm not going to lie, man. I Googled cool English words, and this was one of the worst that came up. And I was like, well, you know, that can work. I know. I wish I had a better reason. I'm sorry. But it's like the most interesting explanation I could give right now.
But at least did you try it to make it it start with A? So it can be like the first in the lineups or something? Because I don't know.
No.
It might make sense. No.
No, it's like in hindsight, it was a nice bonus that it was added to it. But it was literally just like, I needed a new name. This one sounded cool. So fuck it. You know, let's just use this one.
Okay. I mean, it's a really good name. So yeah, it works.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And when did you start it? I mean, I know that you, at least you have songs on Spotify since 2017, I think. And
correct.
But what age were you? What drew you into hardstyle? Tell me a little bit of your backstory. Like, what's your background?
So I think I started listening to hardstyle in 2009 or so, maybe a little, like a year later or so. I have an older brother, Denny, and he was really into hardstyle that time. And he already went to like festivals like DEF CON 1. And my uncle as well, he gave me like a CD with some burn music on from, I don't know if the real old people know, it's still LimeWire.
I do know
exactly.
It.
Like, exactly. So, and there was all like all sorts of tracks with like DJ Isaac, Headhunters, D-Buck and Estefan on it. And I don't know, man. I was listening to that CD for so long, and I was looking at the after movies for all the festivals, and I was just like, God damn it. This type of music is so cool, and these festivals look so incredibly dope. I really want to go there, and wanting to go there turned into I want to play there, which meant I had to start DJing. But then I found out if you want to play at DEF CON, you got to do more than DJ. So then I started picking up music to basically just like play there once. Yeah, it's been a crazy ride ever since. I never expected it to go this hog wild.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it has been a great ride. And actually, it's funny because I don't know, like most of the artists that I have looked up, like at the beginning of their careers, they usually have like these songs which are not that great, you know, technically speaking. Mm. But I actually dive into your songs like from the beginning, and you actually had like a pretty good technique, and the songs are quite actually good. Like, do you think that this also is better for artists? Like, if you start with good quality instead of just I don't know, releasing songs at the beginning which aren't that good.
Well, I mean, first of all, I appreciate you saying that, right? And I've always just been doing stuff because I feel like it. I've never really had like any type of like education on music. It's just been a feeling type thing and learning a lot from working with other producers. But I tell this like to smaller guys as well. Like, I get it. Be hard on yourself. Be perfectionistic. It's important. But don't forget, people are in it for the ride. Like, you can have one great track, but that won't sustain a career for 15 years, right? People also want to see, like, where you started from. They want to see you grow. They want to see, like, where it all leads to. They want to see the potential flourish and become reality, right? I think that's part of what makes, like, following DJs their career so gosh darn interesting. I mean, I'm still a huge fanboy of almost everyone I have the privilege of working with nowadays. And I don't know, it's just the coolest thing ever. It's like some type of weird reality soap or so. What's your fault? If you catch my drift?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. And how did you start with music production? Like, did you start learning DAW, or you went to classes? How did you start doing it?
So, like every good bedroom producer does, they illegally download FL Studio off the internet and they get going. They start the grind, right? So, I have never really had any education. It's just been, I really want to make hardstyle, which was, I think that was like 2016 or so, or 2015 even, that I really started to pick it up. And at that time, you have to imagine there weren't a lot of tutorials out there or sample packs. That was so rare. If you wanted to make hardstyle, you had to be one of those guys who had the insider knowledge of how to actually create a decent sounding hardstyle kit, let alone the crazy music like Brennan Hart and Kuhn and Headhunters were making at that time. So
It's literally just been like trying stuff out, trial and error, working with other producers that were on in the same league as me at that time. And I learned so much from those guys, to which I'm still like very grateful, which really helped me like get to this point. It's just about being eager and willing to put in the hours, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, you have done a lot of releases, right? I mean, I think that you're one of those kind of producers that actually keep releasing music like very often, which I think is really good. Because I do know like other artists that might just release a song every 2 to 3 months. But I see that you're steady. Like you have this, I don't know how to say it, but like you're releasing music very, very often, which I think it's great. And it's good music, yeah. Actually. So
how do you manage?
You're making me blush, bro. No, but how do you manage to make time? Because right now, I mean, I think that since last year, you became like this huge guy in the hardstyle scene, which we have to talk about that at some point.
But, yeah.
Like, how did it change your life? But how do you manage your time? Like, yeah, when creating songs and all these gigs that you must have right now.
So when I started out, it was a bit easier. Like, there wasn't really any pressure. That's also the fun part about just starting out. It's just there's no pressure on you right there. It's just about feeling the creative process, having a good time, and trying to make music that you fuck with, you know, that you really want to show to people. And eventually, when I started getting more bookings, I felt like, okay, I need to keep like a certain structure for myself to stay relevant as well. Because especially nowadays, man, if you don't release a track for half a year, no one like has you on the top of their head, right? Unless you're like a Sepha or something, you know. But I really tried to like continue that trend in the sense of just steadily releasing music and slowly. But at first, I was still in high school when I started out. Then I had like a job on the side. So I was just doing so much stuff at the same time. And the funny part is, right, now I'm a full-time artist. I have less time than I've ever had in my entire life to hang out or chill. I have so much stuff to do, bro. You have no clue.
Holy shit. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, because now that you have all these things to do, I mean, and also your personal life. I have talked with a lot of artists who tell me that they actually lost their personal life. Like they cannot even have like relationships unless they had it like for a long time, because it's really hard to keep up.
Yeah, and I feel that completely. I gotta say, I'm very privileged with the people around me. I have a very close-knit family. I have a friend group of about 13 guys, which I'm really close with. I have a girlfriend of almost 7 years now, which we're still having such a good time together. And that makes it all a lot more bearable. But 100%, it is a very lonely life if you don't watch it and you don't take a step back to actually appreciate life itself. Because you can get so swallowed with the numbers, the competition, the... I don't want to say fame, it sounds so stupid, right? But it's, I don't know, it's easy to get caught up in like the side stuff. So that will make you forget like the reason you started doing this and all the other important stuff. Because it's not all about music. Music is a big part of my life, but you also got to have family. You got to have friends, you know? So yeah, I feel that.
And how do you think that your life has changed in the past year? Like, it was a massive change after Activation, or you were like on this, I don't know, like you were climbing into the hardstyle scene, you were getting big, and it kind of felt like it was a normal, I don't know, evolution or something, or it was just like
trajectory.
Bam. Yeah, exactly, trajectory.
Yeah, like me and my team, my management and that agency and label and stuff, which I've been working with since the beginning, we've always said like we're aiming for a career of longevity. We really want to, at least I really want to do this as long as I can, because hardstyle is my passion. It's my love. I love nothing more than this type of music. And I hope to like do this until I'm gray and old, right? It's, I don't know. It's like with Activation, it exploded. But beforehand, we've had a couple of tracks which garnered some attention, which had a couple million streams. It was going steady, but this really exploded. But I think because we like took it slow and we also tried to build a foundation, that's why I feel like we're ready to do this for in the long run, if we, of course, keep on making those bangers.
Yeah, but you actually kept making these bangers. Like, after that, at least I think that for me, I have like two personal favorites. By the way, Devastation is amazing. Also, Extinction,
you
know.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm actually really happy to see you this Saturday on Fabric. It's going to be amazing.
Ah, yeah. Man, oh, Fabric, by the way, I'm so excited. First time.
I was going to ask you that. It's your first time in Fabric, but not the first time in Madrid, or is it?
It's the second time in Spain, because I've had Dream Beach in...
Okay. Yeah, I know where it is. Yeah, it's like on Almeria.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been to Spain once before, which was super cool, but I've heard so many wild stories about Fabric that I cannot wait to play there, man.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that you're going to love it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about Activation, all the new songs. And how do you feel that it changed your life? Like, you were just telling me that you had this trajectory. Everything was going fine. But then this came up. It exploded. And how was Aversion before Activation and after Activation?
Aversion is a lot more busy now after Activation. No, it's like... It's beautiful because I really feel at this point that I've achieved so many of my dreams already and so much more to gain. So I'm so motivated to like keep on grinding. But the unfortunate side of, I guess, all the success is that the sacrifices I have to make in my personal life, they keep on growing and getting bigger. Where like 2 or 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to attend every one of my friends' birthdays. To like spend my girlfriend's birthday, for example, with her. This time I won't be around because I have shows to play or I'm on tour or whatever, right? Which really sucks. But yeah. I also at the same time believe it is a necessary sacrifice because I just really want to do everything in my power to do the best I can so that I can look back on this journey. Like I did everything I could. I had a great time, but I'm happy I can take it a little more easy now. If that makes sense.
Oh, actually wanted to ask you. I saw that you were going to have a back-to-back with Radical Redemption this Saturday.
Yes.
Or am I
right? First of all, no. You're absolutely right. And it's like, first of all, it's a big, big honor to play in the main room for the first time. But I'm also doing a solo set at the Gearbox hosting. So I get the best of both worlds on my first try immediately. And it's going to be incredible. Last time I played with Joey on We Are Hardstyle, it was so good. And he's such a big dude. I love like trying to throw him around on stage and he just looks at me like,
nice. I think that it would be an amazing set. I'm really looking forward for it. I mean, also Radical Redemption is one of my favorite artists. So I think it's going to be kind of crazy. Yeah. That guy is really an amazing guy. He makes really good music, as well as you, of course.
100%. And I appreciate you, man. The back-to-back is going to be very sick. We have a new call-up together as well. Did I really just forget the name of our call-up? The Nightmare Project. That's what it's called. The Nightmare Project. And it's like, it turned out so cool. It's such a dope blend of styles. And I'm sure people will absolutely love it.
Oh, I'm pretty sure everyone will. And by the way, now that you mentioned the releases, your collab, how does this work? Like, how does I forgot the name. The label determines when are you going to release each song? Like, how does this actually work? Like, on what is it based or how are releases programmed?
So it kind of depends on what you, first of all, I believe like this kind of stuff, it comes from the artist, right? It's about what are your goals? What are your aspirations? What do you want to achieve? And a label is just there to help you guide it, like make sure all the back-end stuff is fixed. Like they help you fix artworks and video clips and stuff and send it to distributors, etc. But for me, what my mindset was with the releases is I've seen throughout the years that I've been doing this is that the gap between release, the ideal one, has really shrunk. At one point, it was ideal if you release a track every 10 to 8 weeks, let's say. That would just be perfect for the name. But now I've noticed that for Aversion, especially with all the algorithms and stuff, I really have to release every 4 to 6 weeks to keep up the momentum, which is, not going to lie, is pretty hard on me because it means you have to crank out music in such a fast tempo that it's almost undoable. But I have the privilege of being able to work with like so many amazing artists right now that it just keeps on inspiring me so that I actually feel like I could make that schedule happen.
Nice. Yeah. And by the way, how did you come up with Activation? Like, what was the process behind that song? What's the story behind it?
Oh, man, I've told this story a couple times before in other interviews, man. It's like, it was Shockers 2022. It was the night before. It was like 4 a.m. I was slaving away in the studio and I was like, nah, I just need something new. So in like from 4 to 8 a.m. or so, I just made Activation just in 4 hours. It was so
weird.
Yeah, it was so fucking weird. I was just in the studio and I was making like, I was working on like a kick and I made it into a synth. It was so weird. And then I was like, da-da-da-da. And I was like, da-da-da-da. So I started looking in my kick folder, and it's no joke, it's called Gated Kick 2, Gated Kick 2. So I just put it afterwards, the second try, and then and then afterwards it just clicked. It was it all made sense.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a wild story.
Happened. It just happened. Yeah, I'm pretty impressed that such a banger, like, it was the biggest song from last year, and it was created like just in 4 hours. You know, it's like when you get inspiration, everything works out, right?
Exactly. I mean, to be fair, like the first draft, which was like the first half of the track, was done in 4 hours. The last part took me like a couple of days to figure out, and also like do the like make it all the mix down and stuff, and do all the extra stuff to make it sound crisp. That took a little longer, but like the initial process and the first version I played at Shockers 2022 took 4 hours, man. And I mean, look at us now. 2 years later, supported by Hardwell. It's like we're going all around the world. Life is so wild sometimes, man. I can't understand it.
Yeah. Oh my God. When Hardwell was playing it like last year at all the festivals and everything, it was really, really impressive. I mean, for you, it must have been like, I don't know, out of this world, like having him playing this everywhere, which actually it's also like huge for the hard sale scene because he was playing this at every festival.
Exactly. And the funny part is I have Robert Hardwell. I have him on my WhatsApp now, which is already ridiculous to say, right? And yeah, I believe we'll soon be working on something together. But he basically said, nice. Until that time, I'm going to keep on playing Activation like the stubborn dick that I am. And I'm like, Robert, I appreciate you.
By the way, which has been your favorite event to play at? And it doesn't have to be like the biggest one, like this kind of festival. I mean, it can be anything. Even a small place might be the best venue.
No, I know what you mean. I always give three examples when people ask me this question. I definitely DEF CON 1 last year, opening the blue, was surreal because no one is accidentally in the blue at 11 a.m. But it was packed after like 20, 30 minutes of opening. That really felt like I was just playing for like, what, 12,000 friends or so, which was such a weird feeling. I nearly cried, man, after that set. And that one was super sick. Of course, the Intense main stage debut with Adjusted Mutilander was crazy, where Devastation was born as well, because that really made me realize I can do this and make friends at the same time, which is such a nice feeling. And and lastly, I would say Knockout Outdoor in Australia. That, I don't know why, but that country loves Activation like it's no tomorrow, man. Like every time I play that stuff, and it goes wild. I've never heard a crowd screaming as loud as they did. That one actually made me cry after my set. You can ask Game Brady. That was like wailing on his shoulder, man. I was like, oh God, what is life?
Yeah, I have heard that Australians are crazy for, I mean, like the scene right there, it's pretty, pretty big. And it's kind of crazy.
It's beautiful, man. And it's just such an unreal thing to be on. You can go, you almost can go any further away from the Netherlands than Australia, right? And to come there and be welcomed so warmly and to have people scream along your music. I don't know. How is someone supposed to feel? I still don't know to this day.
And besides Australia, what other country have you seen that has a good scene, a hardstyle scene?
So I've had the privilege of playing in Santiago, Chile once. It was a couple of years ago, I believe. And I don't know, that was really the first culture shock I really experienced. But the same thing as with Australia, it's so far away from home. But these people are so expressive. They love the music so much that they are all in. They'll know every track, even though at that time I was still a smaller producer, which really blew my mind. So Chile is amazing. What else? I mean, the Scandinavians, of course, are growing now in numbers of parties and events and stuff. It's just growing everywhere. And that's just the dopest thing ever. I hope to go to Mexico soon one day. Mexico seems also like one of those places that will be really, really special.
Yeah, actually, the scene right now is growing a lot in Mexico. So, yeah, hopefully you will be there someday. They are actually making like these huge huge festivals, which are bringing like a lot of hardstyle artists. So I'm pretty sure that maybe soon you will be playing there and you will love it.
I hope so. I've seen the footage from EDC Vegas over EDC Mexico, and that looked really, really good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because it was like, I don't know, maybe a week and a half ago, something like that. And it seemed pretty, pretty.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny because I'm from Mexico, but I have been living in Spain for the past 6 years. And when I arrived in Spain, it was when I started to get into hardstyle. So I never saw this scene in Mexico. And right now that I'm getting into this, like with all these interviews and everything, I just saw that the scene is starting to get big. So I'm really happy because of it. And I have seen all the people working in this, and it's pretty good. And it's actually going to, I think that it will be like a good place for hardstyle in probably around 5 to 10 years, because we have a lot of people in Mexico. We're at like 130 million.
Yeah, exactly. And especially now with the rise of festivals in general, right, through social media platforms like TikTok and stuff, it's, let's hope this helps our scene really like expand to the next level. That would be absolutely surreal.
Yeah. By the way, what would be your best advice? Okay, this is a tricky, well, not a tricky question, but I want to say it correctly. Like, what would be your best advice to new artists, but thinking about the errors or the mistakes that you have made in the past? Like, what were the worst mistakes, and what would be the advice that you would give to new artists?
So, starting, it's like an old man here giving advice to the younger generation already, right? No, if I have to give like a couple points of advice, first of all, really, and I mean really, try to enjoy the ride. It time has got moving by like this, especially in this industry, because it's like highlight after highlight after highlight. And if you don't enjoy it now, you will regret it later. So really try to stand still with all the things you're achieving, no matter how big or small they are. Be proud of yourself. Also, don't be naive. I was very naive in the beginning of my career. And I am absolutely blessed to have found a team that I'm still working with to this day. Because if I got in touch with a party that might have had more malevolent intentions with me, I don't know if it would have gone the same way. So be careful. There are people out there who are willing to sacrifice your career to make a quick buck. So be careful. Enjoy the moments that you can. Be proud of yourself. And work your balls off, boy. Come on. It's time to get that grind on.
Nice. Yeah. I also think that artists should be aiming to have like a unique sound, don't you think? Because right now, the industry, what I have seen or what I can hear is what I can listen to is that a lot of the new artists are trying to sound like a version, like you know, like this artist, like Dual Damage. Like they're trying to imitate these artists instead of creating a new sound. And I don't know. I don't know if the trends are like good for these new artists, because instead of focusing on creating like a unique sound, they are trying just to copy the other ones around.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been like that. Also, like 10 years ago, it was exactly the same. Everyone was really trying to create like that noise controller sound. I feel like it's good because of all the experimentation that has been done. It's a very free industry, right? You can go crazy with the music. There's not a lot of boundaries that are too far, let's say. The problem is that with everything going so extreme, I feel like when everything's extreme, nothing is extreme. So it's kind of like a race to the bottom. And I feel like the fun will be sucked out of like the harder sound in a couple of years if we keep it. I hope to see like also more innovative movements in just hardstyle in general. I'd love to see more stuff like future noise, but maybe more ingrained with like the modern sound, for example, right? That's why I try to do my part in the sense of working with those legendary artists and trying to maintain the quality that they bring, but giving it a fresh touch and not being scared to like try something new and going a little extreme. It is party music after all. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I hope to see the more of like the merging of like the two subgenres, let's say. And I would love to see like more experimentation with sound design, so that not everybody aims for the same type of kick. But a great example, for example, is the Headhunters, the new solo track. I don't know if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Live Forever, it's called, I believe.
But it's not the solo one. I think the last one that it was by himself.
No, it's not released. It's not released. He played it at last year. And you if you haven't checked it out, man, please check it out on YouTube. I think it's called Headhunters Live Forever. That man has really reinvented himself again after like being in this scene for many, many years. And that's the type of music I feel like I would be craving as a new hardstyle fan. But that's just my two cents. You know, I love hardstyle still in the way it is now. I love the old hardstyle. I love where hardstyle's going. And I hope we're all going to create like the best music we can.
Yeah. Actually, about that song from Headhunters, I don't know if... I'm sure that I heard it because I was there at DEFCON 1 last year at the Blue Stage.
Yeah.
But I don't know which one you're talking about. I need to check it out. For you, what's the most challenging part of being a hardstyle DJ and producer?
Ah, Jesus. That's a tough one. The hardest part, I think, is sometimes dealing with the criticism. Not that I have a lot of criticism lately. It's just that people in hardstyle are very protective over their genre. They're very passionate. They really, really care about it. And because of that, if a change happens, which they do not prefer, then they can become quite defensive and aggressive towards the artist trying new things. That's why people are also a little scared, I believe, you know, keep on innovating. I think setting aside the expectations of others and really just creating out of your own heart and not being scared of what other people think about it that was one of the hardest steps I've had to make. And I'm still making that step every day because sometimes I feel myself being not vulnerable, but like I'm susceptible to criticism. Let's say it can really like ruin my day. If I read like a couple of mean comments, and I really should get my head out of that space, you know, just create for me. That's all it's about.
Yeah, actually, that happens to a lot of people. Like, I don't know, but artists tend to be sensitive, like in all kind of ways. And it's like, well, I have heard like a tip that I would give you, which I have heard from other artists, is that they don't read any comments at all, not even the good ones, you know. Because both comments can affect you in different ways. Because most of the times you will have like, I don't know, 150 good comments and then just one bad comment. But that will fuck
up your day. That will fuck it up, bro.
Exactly. I don't know why, but we tend to put a lot more attention on the bad stuff than the good stuff. So yeah, I think that we always have to just try to ignore like this kind of comments. Just do... it's always nice to see good comments, but...
It's also not good for you. I don't believe like the good comments are also good for you because it's such a... I can honestly say that I feel like it's some type of drug in the sense of like it gives you such a dopamine rush that it's like easy to become addicted to it. Like my screen time on my phone is abysmal, bro. I think I have like a screen time of like 12 hours a day, which is like... that's not health. But that's also because... social media is such an integral part, and I do like most of my video editing for like social media. I do it myself on my phone. I do everything myself, right? All the content I have looked at videographers and stuff, but it's so time consuming. But it's also so addicting. I find myself if I'm not stimulated for like 15 minutes, first thing I do is open up the phone, see my notifications. Right? It's double edged sword, let's say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. And what do you enjoy more? Performing or producing?
If you would have asked me this like 3 years ago, I would have probably said performing, because performing was like such a new world for me, and I was so stimulated by it. But if you'd ask me now, I think I'd say producing. Don't get me wrong, right? I love performing. It's such a surreal moment to be standing in front of like 15,000 people and playing your new track. It's so dope. But I find myself having more joy in actually the creative process and creating the music. Playing it is just a bonus, let's say. That's just like the reward. But I really enjoy just the struggle and the process of like, what are we going to do now? How are we going to attack this? From what side or from what perspective are we going to work on it? So I think I would say a producer.
Okay. And do you have some kind of methodology to produce your songs? Like, do you, I don't know, the creative process? Do you have something established, or how do you make a song?
Not really. Like, I've tried to, like, make handles for myself to, like, be more productive and more effective. But I find that just being having, like, the adverse effect. It's just, for me, it's so weird. I just have to, like, be on my computer and just, I have ADD, right? So my brain goes, like, from left to right. So now my internet behavior is exactly the same. It's YouTube. Then it's, like, I'm on Splice. Then I'm on a vocal website. Then I'm answering emails. And if I just get that one trigger, it doesn't matter where it comes from. Then I'm just hooked. Then I just know immediately, okay, this is what I have to do. It's so weird. It's like there's a blueprint in my head. It just unfolds the moment I hear the trigger. It's so strange.
Wow. Yeah, and that you're like, you just get inspiration and then you just start working on the song and it works out. Well, don't you get like these creative blocks? Like you cannot just finish a song at some point?
Yeah, I mean, starting a song is always the easy part, right? I mean, that's where the creative process is. And then it's fun because it's new and fresh. And my ADD brain is like, oh, shiny, new project. I like this. So it's hard to like actually finish stuff. But that's where the work aspect of having this as a career comes in. Because you have to, which is fine for my, because it also helps me develop a little bit of discipline. But I love creating new projects more than finishing them. That's for sure.
And by the way, which are your favorite songs about yourself? Like, what are the songs that Aversion would recommend from Aversion?
Oh, God. Man, this always feels so douchey, right? To just recommend your own songs. Well, if I would have to say...
I mean, they are the songs that represent you, you know? Like, if you would say, yeah. Like, I don't know, Aversion is made of these three songs, which ones would be?
Oh, gosh. Oh, God. Oh, man, that's such a deep question. If I have to pick three,
yeah,
I'm going to say I'm so proud of the Shocker's Anthem. I would definitely recommend that one.
Oh, and it's really good, yeah.
It feels kind of weird, right? Because Activation is my biggest track. But I'm not sure if I guess I would have to recommend it because it's like, it's still very Aversion, I would feel. So Activation, the Shocker's Anthem, and, oh, God, this is such a hard question. I would say either the Future Noise Collab Revolution. Because I mm-hmm. really want to keep my melodic side alive as well.
Or?
Yeah. So for my third song, is Shocker's. It's like the Shocker's Anthem, Activation, and I would say either Devastation or Revolution. One of those two. Because I love like the meaning behind Devastation, like the friendship. But music wise, I feel like Revolution is one of my best tracks. 100%.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, Ed, what do you think about the evolution of hardstyle like nowadays? Like, you know, it has changed a lot in the past few years, and I don't know where it is heading, but I do know that every time, I mean, like, it's going very rough. Like, it's going to to this more raw kind of sound. So what do you think about the evolution that it has had during the past years?
I think the evolution is, like I said, I think it's a good thing because it gives way more room for experimentation. It feels like such a freer musical landscape. Like, you can really come up with some weird shit and no one will be like, what the hell? They'll just appreciate the fact that you're trying to do something new. But the downside, I feel, is that everything is so split up right now, right? I love melodic hard style just as much as I love the harder segment, but it feels like everyone is just chasing, which makes sense because it is an industry, but everyone is just chasing like being the number one, the biggest DJ. So I feel like there should be way more room for all types of hardstyle to be like listened to, and everyone should just do their own thing. Sometimes it just feels like some kind of rat race where everyone just wants to be the hardest guy right now. I just really want to see people like explore creative boundaries and just make dope shit, you know. I hope people still feel free enough to keep on creating and not try and defend positions or just try and follow routes that have already been paved. Like, make your own, be weird, do that one thing that no one else does. I'd love to see more of that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And actually, I think that we're heading to a sound that we're hitting like a wall in terms of hardness. And I think that this is going to change soon. Like, I'm starting to listen to more euphoric kind of songs. I wouldn't say completely euphoric, but I think that the euphoric vibe is kind of coming back.
Sure, and euphoric hardstyle in general is definitely making a comeback. I mean, look at guys like Jay Reeves throwing their own part in the 013 in Tilburg, which was huge. I know, like, also other euphoric guys are really coming up with albums. They are collaborating also with Raw Guys to create like that mixture, which I personally whatever you want to call it. I think still my favorite type of hard style. So Euphoric is doing great, and it's always ups and downs right in this scene. I believe right now we've hit like such a wall in terms of hardness. I think I'm gonna go adjust the quality with everyone a bit more. Everyone's gonna focus more on like, okay, we've had the funky times. Let's make sure it actually sounds good again. And then after maybe 1 or 2 years again, someone comes up with something new that's innovating and it catches on. And then we have another hype. It's just, that's how it always has been. I've said exactly the same thing with the Psytrance kicks. I said to my friends at that point, like, yeah, we can't go any harder with like what Sub-Zero Project are doing. And then just the Zah kicks came along. And now the dual damage gated kicks. And it's like, okay, we could go a little harder if we wanted to.
Yeah, someone always finds a way to make it harder.
Which is great. It's called hard style. It's not called soft style, after all.
Exactly. I want to ask you, I don't know if you want to answer this or not, but what do you usually request on your rider for a gig?
Oh, yeah, I can be completely open about it. I'm not a diva. Well, I am a bit of a diva, but I don't request anything really, really weird or something. I think the weirdest thing that's on my rider is probably like an iced latte macchiato or so. Oh, no, sorry. It's a coffee that we call the Dirty Ole, because I had it for the first time in Germany with Ole from Riot Shift. And it's an iced chai latte with a double shot of espresso and oatmeal, which is like so fucking specific, right? So we would just point that on for shits and giggles. And then I was playing in Australia. I shit you not. This was like on a farm somewhere outside of the city. They bring me the fucking latte. And it's like, I don't even want coffee at this point, but I'll drink it out of respect for the organization just getting it.
Of course.
But furthermore, it's nothing too special. It's just some drinks, maybe a bit of food, like a sandwich or so, but I don't want to be a bother too much to organizations.
Okay. And do you usually party before or after your gigs, or you're like more of a chill person?
No, I love to party. Lately I've been more chill because like I play every weekend now multiple shows, and it's quite tough on my body and mind. So like if I have tough touring weekends, you won't find me partying that much. But if I have, for example, Fabric this weekend, I have a gig in Groningen beforehand, then I'm flying with Radical on his jet to Madrid. And then that's my only show that weekend. And then I'm leaving for Japan on Monday. So that means Saturday on Sunday night, it's party time, baby. We get fucked up on the dance floor.
Okay, then I want to have at least a beer with you at Fabric.
That's a deal, my brother.
It's a deal. I want to ask you, have you had any memorable or fun experiences with a fan during an event?
I've had a lot of crazy times with fans, that's for sure. Like, everyone is just fucking crazy at those parties, man. It's so wild. Like, what would be the weirdest thing? Oh, God, I've had so many weird encounters, but they slip my mind right now. I would say... Oh, yeah, I remember it. Yeah, I was in Australia. I was playing at a club, and in that club, that was like, it was an Asian club. It was a very, it was called Viet Pho. Shout out to Ken, by the way. Great, great club owner. But that guy, he throws those events. And because it like is influenced by a lot of Asian culture, there's a lot of like drinking tables going around. People spending a lot of money, having like big bottles. It's like a status thing, right? So I start playing there and I already feel like, yo, this ain't really my crowd, let's say, for hardstyle. So I start playing. And it still went off. It still went incredibly well, surprisingly. And this one guy comes up to me and he just hands me $100, like a tip.
Yeah.
And it says like, he's just like, he wants to give it to me. Like, I'm okay. Thank you. And he's like, thank you. I felt like I needed a shower after that, but I felt like such a whore.
Okay, that's really, really weird.
Yeah, that was so fucking weird, right? So I guess that would be the weirdest experience.
Wow. And now I want to ask you, what is the set that you have enjoyed creating or performing live the most?
I think so far, the one I've enjoyed most were both the DEFCON Blue opening, because it was so special, and the Shockers live set from 2023, where I was the anthem creator. That one was so special because it was so much hard work and not everything went perfect. Like my preparation took so much more time than I intended it to have, but it all came together so beautifully on stage. Like I had E-Force on for the first time for the collab. I had the Boys of Dual Damage on for Extinction while it wasn't released yet. Unfortunately, fucking Brahm Mutilator was too late at my set to actually join us for Devastation. But Marco and me, we danced for him as well. But that whole set and the reaction and the playing the anthem, those are moments where you really feel like all the hard work pays off. And it's, I will never forget those nights. Those were really, really memorable for me.
Do you have any rituals or lucky charms that you always carry with you at events? Or do you do like some kind of, I don't know, like, yeah, like a ritual before going to on the stage?
Let me safely reach in the back of my car, because that's where my backpack is. Let me show you something. This one is actually from my girlfriend. I believe it's a bring a good luck. It's like a little teddy bear. You see like the orange fluff ball.
Yeah.
So she put that one day on my backpack and it's like, this is for good luck. And then she gave me a kiss before a show. And I was like, oh, that's mine now. I will keep that one in the game, you know? So I guess just, I don't know, I have that one for good luck. But furthermore, it's just being in at the stage in time to actually do some breathing exercises, because I still to this day, I get very nervous before playing. It's really? A scary thing.
Well,
yeah, it's not maybe nervous isn't the right word, but I want it to go well so bad. And I'm just nervous if everything's going to go well. It's just a bit of experience. Like I didn't have that many like fuck ups in my career yet. Like putting off the DJ player, let's say, for example, or accidentally pressing pause. I've had that like twice in like 7 years or so. So maybe that's what I'm still scared for. But once you get exposed to that more and more, you'll just be like, fuck it, we'll figure it out, you know. But until that time.
I mean, and even if it happens, people are just going to be like, whoa. I don't know. It's not a big deal, you know. I have.
Exactly. I'm just too perfectionistic.
A lot of events where that happens, and it's just, it happens. It's life. Everyone can make a mistake.
Exactly. Amen. Okay. Amen.
Yeah. And by the way, what do you actually like doing besides music? Like, what do you actually do on your free time?
So I love drawing. I love playing tennis. I love playing soccer. I've recently really found my passion for working out. There's so much cool. I love gaming. I especially love like the older games like Pokemon and stuff. I'm such a nostalgia gamer. I've recently bought my PS5 though, so I am looking into the newer titles. But if I have to pick a couple things, I'd say gaming, drawing, working out, and yeah, I don't know, just listening to music in general. It's still so much fun. Wait, did we get that, or did the internet just fuck it up?
The internet was fucked up, but I just waited. Okay, but don't worry, it's there. Oh my god, I will have to.
You want to know something funny, man? I've been so deep in this conversation and I've actually driven like 20 kilometers past the exit I had to take. So now I'm almost, I'm not close to home anymore, that's for sure.
Mom, pick me up, I'm scared! By the way, okay, you have to tell me the story behind this. Why are you on your car?
So, okay, so I was driving to Reavers. I was all by myself because all my friends were busy. And I kid you not, like 3 weeks ago, I was going to tweak a TV. My front right tire just exploded. It was fucked up. It exploded. I had to like get it fixed by the traffic help, I guess, from the Netherlands. So that got fixed. I was on my way to Reavers on Friday. And then my left front tire fucking exploded. So I had to call the same guys again, same office, same area where it happened. So they were like, hey, good to see you again. I said, yeah. So that's the reason why I had to pick it up now, because I had like a rental car, but you only can keep that for 4 days. And I had to deliver it now. Now I've had meetings during the day. So you can imagine where all my time goes, right? It's 9 a.m. and I'm in the middle of buttfuck nowhere right now. So...
Holy shit.
Yeah, never a dog wound, that's for sure.
Yeah, at least you, I mean, I don't know if you're kind of a workaholic, because for example, I am. So I enjoy, like, I mean, if I do enjoy what I'm doing, I'm always fine. I don't feel like, you know, I don't have any time for myself. I mean, the only one that suffers is my girlfriend. She suffers because I'm always doing something. But besides that, I actually enjoy it, like being busy most of the time.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm definitely a workaholic myself. And my girlfriend also suffers greatly under that, that's for sure. I'm not gonna lie. Lately, I've really been looking more into like giving myself more headway with like relaxing, because I'm not gonna lie. I've gotten to points last year where I was really like, I don't know if I can keep this up for 2 more years, because it's just everything comes at the same time. It's so hectic. So I really want to, like, that's one of my plans for 2024, to also try, even though we're doing more than ever before, to take a step back sometimes and try and like also give yourself the rest you need. Because I believe if I keep on doing this in a not smart way and working too hard, which you can do, I will probably get like a burnout within the next 2 years. And that's the last thing I want. The agency, of course, also doesn't want that. So we got to be careful with ourselves.
Oh my God. And the festival season is coming, which I guess it has to be like crazy, right?
If I have multiple weekends with like 6 shows.
Weekends with 6 shows on the same weekend?
Yep.
How you can do that? Like, they are all like 20 kilometers from each other? Or how does that work?
No, that's like multiple countries as well. It's fucking ridiculous. I believe like the one that comes to mind is the one with 5, I believe, in what is it, July or something, where it's like a show in Scotland on Friday. And then it's like on the Saturday, I have 3 shows in the Netherlands. And then on Sunday, there's another gig in Germany or so, which is like, that's a great time. That's just a whole day of driving around, playing an hour, being sweaty, then putting another shirt on. So. Look, this is complaining at the highest level. I shouldn't sound like such a bitch, man. It's great. I love it, but it's hefty.
No, I don't know. But I do know from other artists that the worst part is actually this. Like, having all these gigs in such a short amount of time, and having to travel, like, most of the times, not getting enough sleep, or sleeping, like, at weird times. Because, I don't know. I guess that in the Netherlands, it's not like, for example, here in Spain, that most of the festivals are during night. I think that in the Netherlands, during the summer, most of the festivals are held during the day, right?
Yeah, most of them are. But to this day, there are still a lot of like night parties. And
okay,
look, I don't mind them, but it is just such a hassle, because your whole Sunday is just poof, gone.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I was for day parties.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you the same that I asked to the strikers. And it's, what do you prefer, day festivals or night festivals?
I can guess their answer.
Which one do you think it was?
It has to be night parties.
Actually, no. They said that before it was night parties. But for the past few years, they said that they prefer having the daylight parties, like the daylight festivals, because they have the Sunday. And if they are not tired when the festival ends, they can go party somewhere else.
Ah, they're just a bunch of pussies, man. They're getting old now.
By the way, how is it growing in the Netherlands? I mean, like, as a hardstyle fan, is hardstyle like a big part of the culture, like the music culture? Or is it just like, I mean, it's, I don't know, I know that it's not me, but is it like a big part of the musical culture?
Yeah, it is, 100%, and especially because of, I mean, it is still, but it's different. You have like the big festivals, which really still luckily represent all segments of hardstyle, let's say. But you can tell, like, especially in the Netherlands, when you're talking like the club scene, everything is really, really moving towards like the harder sound, and it will be hard to find club shows, for example, with like a Wild Styles on the lineup, for example. It will mostly be like raw guys from the upcoming segment, etc. So it still plays a big role, but it's just different. I feel like back in the days, every weekend you would have like a Headhunters, Wild Styles, New Patrollers, Future Noise, whatever show, right? But nowadays it's mostly like, and good for them, like the upcoming guys like a Hard Destiny, Unload, Heavy Resistance. There's so many cool upcoming guys, and they're getting so many shows now, which is dope. But it is a different landscape than it was like 5 years ago, for sure.
Okay. By the way, which are your favorite artists? I want you to tell me your favorite artists, like for your whole life, and also like newcomers that you think that will make it big or that you like a lot.
Yeah. If I have to pick my favorites, I probably say definitely Virtual Mace. I love what he's doing, and his voice is so good. His tracks are amazing. Also, Willem Headhunters, of course, still, I don't know what it is with that guy, but maybe I'm just a fanboy, but he still, for some reason, really feels to me like the king of hardstyle, like I know it. and and Sub-Zero Projects for all the innovative stuff they're doing. Those guys are powerhouses, and all the new live acts and all the work they're putting in. I admire them very greatly for that. They are a big example. And then, of course, the newcomers, the baby boys in the beginning of the scene, huh? I'd say my favorites are 100%. Like I said before, Hard Destiny is one of my favorites. He did actually a remix for me for Global Revolution, which we played at Get Wrecked for the first time together, which was super cool. And furthermore, I know Dual Damage are already very big. It's weird to call them newcomers, right? But they haven't been working for longer than a year.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they just have been out there for a year and they are fucking huge. Like, I don't even know how that happened. I mean, I know because they are great. But it's like, how can you do that? I don't know any other artists that have done that. Like,
okay, let's call them new additions to the scene. I think that's a more fair way of like, categorizing. And then it's 100% Dual Damage, Hard Destiny, also Unload. Yeah, there's Sanctuary as well, does some really cool stuff. I try to stay as invested as possible with like the newer generation as well, because that's where the future lies. And there's a lot of cool stuff being built right now. So I have high hopes for where our scene is going.
Yeah. It's actually, it looks pretty bright. Actually, here in Spain, I do know a lot of artists, and most of them are pretty good. It's like, it's amazing. Like, I don't know if some Spanish artists are getting into the Netherlands. I don't think so, because the Netherlands had like a billion artists there. But
we have the strikers. I mean, we still got to deal with that shit.
Yeah. Oh my god, they're amazing. I'm actually eager for this Saturday. It's gonna be an amazing day.
I'm 100% sure it's gonna be incredible, and I can't wait for the taste of that first cold beer, man.
Oh yeah, I'm craving it. By the way, do you usually party at the places that you play? Like, whenever you're not playing, are you around the people or something, or you prefer to stay on the backstage?
No, I prefer the party way more. People think for some reason the backstages are where the party's at. It is so not. It is so boring back there. It's almost like an office space where you have to like watch what you do, you have to be careful, and but when you go on the festival grounds, that's where my heart lies. That's where you can really party and enjoy the crazy production. It's just that it depends on the timing, right? If I have two shows after that, or I have to like fly early back tomorrow, I won't drink, because then I'll oversleep for a show, and that's the worst thing you can do. So
yeah,
most of the times you'll be Saturday dance floor though.
Yeah. On this Saturday, are you staying in Madrid or you are leaving like early or something?
I believe we have a late flight back, if I checked everything correctly with my agent. And if so, I'm going to be drinking everything.
Everything. Okay, that's going to be really, really fun.
It's going to be way too fun, man.
Yeah, I want to see you somewhere in the like inside the all the crowd.
100%, man. Of course, like, shoot me a message. First beer is on me. That's a deal.
Okay, I also want to ask you, what's your favorite festival, but not like to play at, just as a guest? Like, you have attended as a guest and you loved it.
Well, this might be nostalgia, but there was this one really small festival at one point in the middle of the Netherlands. It was called Primal, and it only happened for like two editions or so, and it was never sold out. It was just a line with upcoming raw dudes and a mix of like the bigger guys. And I don't know why, but I just had such a great time there. That was so, so good to experience. And I think I would say also Intense and Defcon, of course, because the hospitality there is just incredible. Like the production and everything, you really feel that you're being spoiled with everything, every hour of work they've put in, right? So definitely those three parties.
Okay, nice. I don't know why, but most of the crowd, like, yeah, the public loves Decibel. I mean, I like it. Actually, last year I went to Decibel and Defcon.
I would say, like, if about Decibel and stuff, of course, man. I love Decibel as well. And I get why, because I'm not going to lie, the campsites of Defcon and Intense are, like, pretty flat. They're just grass fields, right? Even though they do a lot of, like, dressing up to make the terrain better. But you just can't beat that forest in which you stay at Decibel. It just has a magical vibe. I don't know what it is. It's just luck of the location, I think. And that makes it, I think, so much more enjoyable as a weekender.
Yeah, I think that the location at Decibel is like the best one. Yeah, everything about Decibel is quite good. For example, I love DEFCON and I'm actually going this year again. But the only problem that I can see is that the smaller stages, or at least I can remember one, I think it was the Silver Stage, which changed name at some day. I don't know. So I wouldn't be 100% sure of the name of the stage, but it didn't have like a good sound system. So that kind of fucks up like the experience a little bit if not all the stages have like a good sound system. Because I mean, in the hard music, the sound system is like probably the most important thing. And
100%. Decibel, you could have zero production and good speakers and that would be enough.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, but still, I think I prefer DEFCON. Well, I don't think. I prefer DEFCON. I don't know. It's just the vibe, like the history behind it. I don't know. It feels like...
Man, I'm a sucker too for that shit, man. It's like that feeling of being part of the tribe. I'm a sucker for it. I eat that shit a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm a victim of the marketing, and I feel it in my heart.
Same. I am a warrior, a weekend warrior, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Robin, I think that I'm going to make you the last question, which is my favorite one as well. And I hope that we can have a second part in a more quiet place. For the next time.
100%. I'm so sorry for like the location.
No, don't worry.
I'm so sorry.
No. I really, really appreciate your time. Like, I know that you are very busy. When I was talking with your manager, it was like, oh yeah, I think I started talking with your manager like 5 months ago or something like that. So I was really hoping for this move. So yeah.
No, man, we're fucking terrible. Sorry for making you wait so long.
No. I'm really grateful that you're giving me your time.
Of course.
I'm going to make you the last question, and it is, how would you like to be remembered in the hardstyle scene?
That's actually a question I think about myself a lot. That really keeps me awake. What is my legacy? What am I doing? You know, I'm doing it, but what am I doing? What am I really trying to do? I hope I can be remembered as someone who tore down boundaries, both music-wise, but also industry-wise. I'm not at any of like the giant agencies. I really work from a creed of like, if I'm good, I will get booked. I work my ass off for that. And I hope that inspires not only the new generation, but also the whole industry to handle everything fairly, to be compensated for what you're worth, to also think out of the box collaboration wise. Because I remember when I was so big into listening into hardstyle, there were so many collabs on my bucket list. Like I would have loved to see that just never happened. I found it such a shame. So I really hope I can inspire other producers to like work with someone outside of their field of work, let's say. I mean, for example, I still would love to see like a Headhunters and D-Star collab, or a Headhunters and Future Noise, or a D-Star and Future Noise. Those have never happened. But now I've worked with both D-Star and Future Noise. So I'm secretly implementing that. So it's like... Yeah, I was like, hey, you know, the Beaster guy is pretty great. Maybe you should make a call out. So
that's a good idea.
Exactly. But I guess to get back at the question, I just want to be remembered as someone who followed their heart and gave it everything they have, had the luxury and the pleasure to achieve a lot of their dreams and just try to move our music forward in the direction that's better for everyone. I would love to be remembered like that.
Perfect. And I completely forgot about asking you this, and I will ask it now. But yeah. How was Reverse?
Oh, yeah, bro. Reverse was fucking wild. Man, it was with Act of Rage. First, we were supposed to play our first back-to-back at Carnival Festival, which got canceled, unfortunately. But we did it now at Reverse, and it was so good. It was so good. We played main stage for the first... at least it was my first time on the main stage. And I don't know. Reverse is so huge. Sport Palace is such a giant venue. Which is just so super cool to play. I gotta be honest, I think music-wise, we were put on a little late. Because we were put on like after Warface, Rave from the Grave, and Disturb and Fertile Best of Both Worlds. And yes, I agree, we make our music. I think if you compared music-wise, it would have made sense to either put us before that or maybe in between.
Before, so,
let's say. Yeah, something like that. But it didn't like... lessen the joy that we had or the crowd because it was still packed.
still such a great vibe. So I think I hope to be back next year. That would be amazing.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you will. And actually, it's one of the festivals that I want to go the most. I don't know why I haven't been there. But also, I remember on 2020, I was like watching all these sets from Reavers, and that got me hyped and got me through to the COVID. So it was actually
like this pretty cool production. I can tell you, bro, the production of Reavers is unreal. This weekend as well, you see like all the LED, like the pictures don't do it justice. It was so large, it was so well produced. So hats off to Basie fans and Reavers. That was incredible.
Yeah. I will have to go next year, hopefully.
Do it. And then we'll grab another beer there.
Oh, perfect. That sounds like a plan. Okay, Robin. Well, thank you a lot for your time. Really, I really appreciate it. I know that you're very busy. And hopefully we can have another conversation on a more stable internet connection.
Yeah, that's a pinky promise, man. Thanks again for having me. It means a lot.
No, thank you. I think it was pretty, pretty cool. Everyone that has been watching this, please understand that we were running on a not so stable internet connection. So if you, I don't know, hear something weird, it wasn't our fault.
Just trust me, we're going to have to do this another time and we'll make up with some proper studio equipment. That's a promise.
Perfect, Robin. So thank you very much again and see you on Saturday.
See you on Saturday, brother. Have a good night.
Have a good night, and thank you everyone for watching this, and please subscribe to my channel. Bye-bye.